everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. Now, for decades, men haven't had the resources like women have to find dating and relationship advice. So today's program is all about the best dating advice for men. So if you're a man out there, you want to listen in. It's going to be a really good program. And if you're a woman, you'll want to listen to see if you agree with the advice. My guest today is Hunt Etheridge, an international dating and relationship expert and coach with over a decade of experience helping people become the best, most dateable versions of themselves. He has been featured on CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and many more outlets. As a prolific writer as well, he has over 200 dating advice articles published all over the web. Now, I've had Hunt on the program before, and I know, listeners, you've really enjoyed his advice. And it is always a pleasure to talk with someone on the program that I've met in person and worked with as well. To learn more information then about Hunt Etheridge, his coding, or his advice articles, go to huntforadvice.com. So welcome to the program, Hunt. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I always love talking with you.
I always love talking with you as well. And as I said in the intro, you always give the best relationship advice.
Well, thank you. I strive to do the best I can. And it's always great to hear it when it's received well.
Absolutely. And Hunt, listeners have really enjoyed your advice. So before we get to the topic, though, I want to ask you a question that I get all the time. And I know you're married. And the question is, how do you think being a relationship expert affects your own marriage and your own relationships? Are they perfect?
Nothing is perfect. That's for sure.
So how do you think it affects your relationships then?
One of the things that I strive to teach is that all of us, myself especially included, can always use some polish. Mm-hmm. Everyone can always be better than where they are. So for me, being a relationship expert, I love the fact that I am able to take what I have at home and bring it into my work and learn things at work that I'm able to bring into my relationships. So I feel like I get to have the best of both worlds in that. But I know that a lot of colleagues find that it can be difficult to be in this industry and have relationships at the same time, because a lot of other people think they're being constantly judged on their behaviors.
Right. Now, does your wife ever say, come on, Hunt, you're a relationship expert. You should be handling this conflict or disagreement better. Now, I'll tell you, my husband says that, by the way, Hunt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But there's times, as we all know in relationships, there's small little hills that we are each prepared to metaphorically die on sometimes. And while it may not be the best solution, sometimes that's what each individual needs.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to help others than when you're in the moment and you're living a relationship, trying to figure it out and remember what you wrote in that article yesterday about how to handle conflict better. Yeah. So I think it's sometimes easier to help others. Now, you argue, Hunt, that men haven't had the resources out there to learn about relationships and dating like women have. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, as you and I have talked about so many times, the world has made it somewhat difficult for men in that we are not allowed to express our emotions. We're not allowed to cry. We're not allowed to ask for help. All of these things previously have been considered weaknesses. And so it has led men to feel that they don't have any resources. And at the same time, those that are capable of being a resources don't focus on that demographic because men don't search it out because they've been told that it's a weakness.
Right.
So it's really only, you know, within the last decade or so that the resources and the ability of men to search out these resources has become more mainstream and allowed. Like, you know, there's such a dichotomy or juxtaposition between what women say they want and what they actually want. You know, you hear women say, I want to have a man that's expressive and isn't, can share feelings and opens up to me. But then if that same man opens up and discusses all of his frustrations and stresses and cries to her, she gets turned off because that's quote unquote, not a real man. So it makes it very difficult for men to try to figure out where in this they can search for help and how they think that their women want them to act.
Right. Very confusing at times for men. I agree. And I hear that from men a lot. And what about you? As you write all these articles, are men commenting? Are they sharing their stories with you about their dating and relationship lives?
Oh, yeah. One of the more prolific places that I get contacted is through on Reddit. I do a lot of what's called AMAs, Ask Me Anythings, on Reddit. So people can just kind of chime in and live and ask me questions. And then that stuff gets archived and stored. I get so many guys contacting me privately through that because they've read some of the stuff I've written. And they said, it's the best advice. I haven't found anyone else that gives this consistent advice. I need help. Right now I've been messaging an 18-year-old guy from Sweden about which Snapchat conversations that he should go forward with a girl that he likes. So it's just interesting that worldwide that this this lack of resources exists.
Right. How fascinating. I love it that they'll read one of your articles and they'll either comment on that article or they'll ask a question or they'll contact you privately to get more information. That is wonderful. So do you think the dating advice that you give to men is that different than the dating advice that you would give to women?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In that, of course, you know, anytime we're talking about advice, there's going to be overgeneralizations and oversimplifications. But for women, most of my advice can be boiled down to how to be approachable. And for men, it boils down to how to approach. Obviously, it goes further and further and further out there. But in our traditional rhythm of relationships, of the man being the aggressor, if a man doesn't do anything, many times nothing will happen. So while, of course, women have things that they can work on themselves, many women take a passive role in that relationship, which is neither bad nor good, but the man is expected to take the active role in the relationship. And that is daunting, that if you do nothing, you will get nothing in its simplest form. So it's difficult for them to, one, to figure out how to get the confidence and wherewithal to be able to go do it, two, how not to take it personally when they are feeling rejected out there, and three, constantly trying to figure out what it is that women want. Of course, no one has ever figured that out, but kind of in that way of metrosexual, alpha male, sensitive man, lumbersexual, dad bods, hot bods. They don't know what it is that they're supposed to be offering, so they feel floundering. And now with the added pressure of Me Too sometimes, which is an absolutely needed and necessary movement, But it has scared so many men that because they don't understand the nuances of it, they think that if they go up and things go wrong, they could rightly or wrongly be accused of something that ruins their entire lives. So instead of working on that, they have completely removed themselves from the dating world.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get to the advice then. I'm a man listening to this show, Hunt, and I want to know how to approach in a respectful, good way that I'm going to get a date.
Well, so what I teach my male clients is that there are four things that women look for in a man, and that is confidence, leadership, image, and power. All of those could be its own, you know, hour-long discussion, but basically, confidence, we hear it a lot, but no one sits down and defines it or how to become confident. All the articles are just like, be confident. Well, that's hard for men that aren't there yet. The easiest definition of confidence is the surety of your own decisions. Now, we have that a lot in our professions because we know that we're good in our professions and we hand in a report and our boss says, what about line five? Like, nope, it's right. I know it. I'm good. But we find that sometimes that's lacking in our relationship or our friendships, that we don't feel that same sort of surety in our own decisions.
And now, Hunt, let me just interrupt you for a second. Did you say competence or confidence?
Confidence.
Okay, confidence. That's the surety. Okay, continue on. So how do I get confidence?
Right, and that is basically becoming sure of your own decisions. Mm. For instance, when you show up to a date and a woman says, oh, you're wearing a purple shirt, you may have come from a sports game where purple is the color of the team. And that's why you have the purple shirt on. But she doesn't care about why you have the purple shirt on. So you might, but you're the non-confident man may say, oh, just, I mean, I it was only for going to the Toronto Raptors game that to do this, I wouldn't wear purple normally. The confident man would say, hell yeah, because he's sure of his own decisions and decision-making processes. Another thing that men have been taught erroneously is happy wife, happy life. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with making the other person happy, but what it means is to the detriment of one's own self. Mm-hmm. And so a man will suggest a restaurant maybe, I want to take you to my favorite restaurant. It's called Blue Water Grill. You'll love it. She says, oh, I haven't heard great things about that. My friend went there and didn't like it, and it's not great Yelp reviews. So the non-confident man, knowing the happy wife, happy life mantra, says, okay, well, you know, I mean, it's not my favorite. We can totally go anywhere else, though. Mm-hmm. Thinking that he's doing what she wants and what is right. However, what he shows is that he's waffling back and forth and isn't sure of his own decisions. Where the confident man may say, wow, I'm sorry your friend didn't have a good time, and I don't know what Yelp reviews you've read, but it's got the best oysters around, the maitre d' is awesome, and I love the service. We can go anywhere else you want. You're just going to miss the meal of a lifetime.
Ooh, I love that, because then she's going to say, of course I want to go with you. I don't want to miss what you think is wonderful.
And that's the thing, too, that being confident does not mean stubborn, obstinate, obdurate at all. In fact, the more flexible you are, the better it is. But you're just letting them know, well, hey, that's your call. You're just going to miss an amazing time. So I think that men are always worried about what the woman is going to think, and are scrambling around trying to find the right answer, as opposed to sort of living and dying by the sword. It's not what's the right answer, it's pick a point and defend it.
Right, and you know, a confident man is so attractive because it just exudes okayness. And for many women, that's really what they're looking for, right? A man who comes in with that purple or pink or yellow shirt. Yep. And loves wearing it.
Yep. I was actually, when my wife and I were starting to date, some of my friends her friends and our friends asked her, like, why do you let Hunt like dress like that? Because mm-hmm. I like to get wacky. Right. And she responded with, I don't let him do anything. And in fact, I like that aspect of him because, like, for instance, one time my friends and I all went to the Salvation Army bought the ugliest shirts that we can find and all went out in those shirts that night. And we had a blast because we were confident in the decision to be goofy. And we had women waiting in line to talk to us. And we didn't, and having that confidence to be okay with that, I think speaks volumes.
And it, you know, the conversation then on a date goes so differently and so much better. You're going to ask questions. You're going to try to get to know this person, because instead of, like you said, worrying about the other person and whether that other person likes me, I am interested in whether or not that person is right for me. Yeah. Because I'm confident.
That's the biggest switch that I first tell all my clients, both men and women. The goal is not to get more dates. The goal is not to get more men. The goal is not to get more women, because by having that as the goal, we're putting that up on a pedestal. And we don't want the women or the men up above us on a pedestal. What we want is to be the prize. We want to be the type of people that attract people to us.
I like that. Very good. Okay, so confident or confidence. Second, you said leadership.
Yeah.
Why do men have to, what strategy is that?
So there are two types of leadership. There's physical leadership, which is making the calls, picking them up, choosing restaurants, all good skills. And then there's a second type of leadership called emotional leadership. That's how to lead the conversation where you want it to go, how to lead the sexual progression as the dates go on, how to lead the energy on a date. That is a skill set like learning to play tennis or learning another language, you know, trying and practicing these things and being able to, for instance, one of the things I teach my clients is how to create positive emotional drama. And by that, I mean making the other person feel good. And the ways of doing that are making that person feel good about themselves. Compliments are the low-hanging fruit. But what's even better is when you can ask them questions that make them feel good about themselves. What's the proudest moment you've had at work? What is the best compliment that you've ever received? Asking these types of questions in the conversation allows that person to feel good about themselves and talk about themselves. And we delve into emotion, because most of the questions we ask each other are completely logical questions. Where are you from? What do you do? Where'd you grow up? What do you like to do on the weekends? Where'd you go to college? All logical questions. Relationships are emotional. They are not logical. So you want to lead the conversation into positive emotional areas.
I like that. And also, I mean, social psychology would just say that if you can create that positive emotion, then it gets transferred from the woman or from the other person to the relationship and to you. I think that is wonderful. There are so many different reasons why to have or create positive emotional drama. And a good question, what is your most proud moment? Can you give us one little other tidbit or question that somebody might ask? What would be another way, besides a compliment, to have a positive emotional drama situation?
Sure. This is if I get the chance to only meet with 1 hour with a client, this is what I harp on the most. Every question that can be asked logically can be asked emotionally. For instance, instead of saying, where are you from? Say, what's one of your favorite memories from childhood? Now, in order to answer that, three important things have to happen. They have to remember a happy time. And then if they think of a happy time, they start to feel happy because emotions and memory are associated. And the last and most important is kind of what you were getting at, is the feelings of positivity and happiness and the feelings of you start to get intertwined with each other. So I'm constantly looking for questions that bring that up. What was the most comfortable chair you've ever sat in? What was the best meal you've ever had? What was the best city you've ever been to? What was the
your favorite place that you traveled to in the last year, right?
Exactly. So the question, basically the two points are, make sure the question only has a positive answer and that it's specific enough that it has a positive emotion attached to it. As opposed to saying, what was your favorite memory of college? That's too broad. Instead of saying, you could say, what was the best party you went to in college? What teacher inspired the most passion in you? What assignment did you kick ass on the most? Those are specific enough that it leverages into those positive emotions.
What a great piece of advice, listeners and men out there. Those questions are pearls of wisdom. Okay, we have two other types of strategies, and I think we only have a little bit of time left. But so pick one. We have the image and we have the power. What's
The image? Well, I'll just go quick on this. The image, basically, it's like if you look, I call image your nonverbal conversation with the world. The world looks at you and tries to figure out who you are. So be aware of that. As you look around at other people, you're trying to judge who they are by what the image they're portraying. When you look in the mirror, what does your image say about you? So just, you don't have to be in a three-piece suit or be the funkiest, coolest dresser, but understand everyone's trying to look at you and figure out who you are. So it would behoove one to start to be aware of that and start to try to practice giving off the image that you want others to perceive you as. Again, could be an entire whole session that we talk about that.
Yeah, but that's a good piece of advice. Just tune in to what you wear and how you look is what you're saying. Good.
Yes. Be aware that it is something that is being judged, whether it's good or not. But the last one, power, that's really important because a lot of people, when they think of power, they think of social standing, money, et cetera, et cetera. The easiest definition of power is the ability to influence your environment. That can be a small way by petting your cat. You make your cat happy. It could be a large way is that you're the CEO of a multinational company, and that's your environment too. But for instance, I have the power today to make people tell stories for the rest of their life if I go straight naked through the streets of New York City. Am I going to do that? I am not. Do I have the power to do that? Yes, I do. I have the ability to influence my environment. And I think that people don't realize how much power they actually have. There's Eleanor Roosevelt famously said, no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. Mm-hmm. So we choose almost how much power we want to have. And it can be difficult because it's nebulous and it's things that, you know, we need to add on to ourselves. But you, each person, has the ability to influence everyone around them at every moment of their lives. And when you start to add that extra confidence and that image and that leadership into it, you start to see the effect that you have on others. You start to see how your power influences other people. And it becomes so much fun, like just the questions that we ask. You had the power to make that person feel good about themselves. You have the power to influence your environment. And I think that that is what can get exciting and fun when you get good at it.
And so is that the feeling that I as a man need to feel when I'm out there dating, or do I have to show it?
It's both. I mean, unfortunately, the thing with power, if you think you have it, you have it. If you don't think you have it, you don't have it. So it's not something you can just decide to have, unfortunately, but it's something that you build over time. Of course, there's definitely the fake it till you make it part of it as well, too. One of the ways that I suggest to both my males and females to give themselves more power is to give themselves permission to be someone different that night. As in, who do you admire? I admire Golda Meir. Okay, what aspects does she have? She has tons of tenacity, power, and a no-nonsense attitude. Great. Do that on your date. I admire James Bond. What does he have? He has a way of not caring what the ladies say. He has a way of always walking smoothly. Okay, try to emulate that. And as you see people react to you, then you start to bring those little aspects into your own personality to create your own personal power.
Wow, that is super, Hunt. And what a great exercise to do for men and women, but we're talking about men, before they go on a date. Yep. Who do you admire and then emulate or participate, engage in those qualities or behaviors? What great strategies, best advice for men, Hunt. And again, listeners, confidence, leadership, image, and power. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hunt. I could ask you questions and talk with you all day. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you. I want to leave one more thing to the men listening up here. As we have confidence, leadership, image, and power, that's CLIP. So what I do to all my male clients is I give them a couple of paper clips. You put that clip in your wallet, you put that clip at your workstation, and you put that clip where you get ready in the morning. And like a tuxedo makes you walk and feel better. So every time you look at that clip, you'll be reminded of confidence, leadership, image, and power.
I love it. And listeners, I know you're going to want to connect with Hunt. That was great advice. And I know he does wonderful coaching as well. So if you're interested in connecting with Hunt Etheridge, again, his website is huntforadvice.com. Also, you can connect with him on Facebook and Twitter at Hunt for Advice. As always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. And I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.